Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by 1000 Maniacs. Do you want to get your first 1000 email subscribers? Find out exactly what they want and create and launch a product to them? Then I want to teach you exactly how to do this. Join 1000 Maniacs if you are tired of experts telling you to build a list, develop a product, but never telling you how to do that? Yeah, me too. Well, 1000 Maniacs is your how-to against a sea of vague strategies. This step-by-step course will walk you through exactly how I went from zero to 1000 email subscribers, and I'll show you how to build your first product and sell it to them. 1000 Maniacs will only be open for a very short period of time at the end of March. So get on the pre-launch list now. Go to 1000maniacs.com, get your full checklist that walks you through every single step from getting your very first maniac to 1000, finding out what it is they want, building them a product, and launching it to them. Go to 1000maniacs.com.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a music geek, marketer, drummer, and an entrepreneur. He spent the earlier part of his career in marketing for EMI Group in Nashville. After realizing that he is slowly becoming unemployable, my guest ventured out onto his own. For the past 7 years, he has been growing and running Music Geek Services, a direct-to-fan consulting company helping artists think like fans. He is also an instructor at Berklee School of Music Online. Now, let's hack Jay Coyle. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor of Hack the Entrepreneur, Mott & Bow. If you are ready to look and feel great while you are out there hustling and growing your business, then you need to check out these handcrafted premium quality jeans. You know how I said that I would never start an offline business again because the internet offers us this incredible scale to sell from? Well, I kind of dig this. Mott & Bow makes these jeans themselves in their own factory, and by shipping directly to you, they eliminate retail markups typical of luxury denim and can provide these jeans at an incredible price. So it's traditional manufacturing kind of turned on its head, and the results are brilliant. In fact, they don't just deliver. Mott & Bow also has a free try-on program. You get two sizes to try at home with every purchase. Keep the one that fits and send the other one back for free. These jeans are already priced under market because they cut out all the retail markups. But the deal gets even better for you. When you go to mottandbow.com and use the promo code HACK, you will get 20% off your next purchase. Go right now to mottandbow.com, use promo code HACK, and get 20% off your first purchase. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very special guest, Jay. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure, man. I think this is going to be a blast.
I think it will be too.
Awesome. Let's jump into it. Jay, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That's really easy for me. It's almost because of the fact that I feel I stumbled into being an entrepreneur, but it's just being led by passion. You know, my company, Music Geek, was created because of the fact that I am a just omnivorous music fan. And I always looked at what drove me in terms of my passion for music. And I know that sounds weird, but I realized at an early age, my fandom for music and the bands around it, first record I ever bought was the Beatles Help. I was 7 years old. And like getting that vinyl in my hand and devouring the cover art and the track listings and the credits and everything about it. And I wanted more. It's like, who else can I love like this? Or what else can I learn about that? And that just kind of stuck with me from the age of seven. And I knew that right then and there that music was my thing. Like I knew that this was going to be somehow part of my future. And I didn't know what it meant, but there was a passion for both the creation of it the passion for the sale of it, which sounds crass, but even as a kid, I loved the concept of going to a store to buy music. And then the passion about other people that I can connect with on an emotional level because I was connecting with this music. So as an entrepreneur, when I built my company, and it was truly just, I had lost a gig at a record label. And it was my dream job. It was that EMI who owned Capitol. So, you know, going back to my seven-year-old childhood first purchase. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just got fired from, you know, all my friends were like, you didn't get fired. It was a, you know, they were cutting off the director level people. I'm like, I got fired. I mean, it wasn't like I did anything wrong. It was just, hey, you were an expense to us and we're trying to save expenses. So we have to let you go. But when I walked away from that, my buddy Nick said, he's like, Jay, you think you've worked in the music business? He's like, you worked in the record business, and the record business is not what you want to work in. You've always wanted to work in the music business. I was like, oh my gosh, I needed somebody else to point that out, that, you know, my passion is for the music business. It's with fans, it's with artists, it's with, you know, people creating legacies. And like with the band Sloan that I've worked with since 2009, it's like the biggest thing to me and the thing that drives me is, you know, you and I've talked about this offline. It's like just the concept of how much we love a band and what you do and what drives you. That's the passion. And I have met tons of people that have said, and this is not a boastful thing, truly. It was, once again, it's like, wow, I needed somebody else to say that. I'm like, I wish I had your passion for what I do. And I kind of go, well, I didn't know that it was what I was going to do. It was the only thing I could do. Like there's no reason that you can't follow your passion, but I think it takes a different mindset to go. And I think it's because I'm an eternal optimist. I have to say, I can do this and I will do this. And when opportunities show up where I can actually talk to people that are also in the business, it energizes me because it's, what are you doing? How do you challenge, you know, how are you challenged? And there's this bonding that happens. And I think that to me, that's being a successful entrepreneur. And the thing that makes me different is that, trust me, I have made mistakes every single year. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm very human. But if I still stay true to my passion and I believe that I can find ways to connect my passion with something on the other end, be it a fan, be it another artist to work with, and then wrap that around a business where there can be money. And sometimes it's, as I call it, it's emotional currency. And sometimes I'll do a project, surely just, and it may not make me true cash, but it'll build emotional currency with either a fan set or a band. Then I know that down the road it can be monetized. And it's not unlike, ironically, the music business that I teach for marketing. It's like the money always comes last. And I think entrepreneurs that I've met that may not be affiliated with the music business, you know, they'll talk about a product or a service that they're, that, or like a solution that they're solving. And, you know, that how do you monetize that? And I'm energized by that. But at the same time, I'm like, the money will come if I'm just always true to that passion. So I've kind of built, that's how I've focused my, you know, my business. And I only work with bands that I'm truly in love with and truly am energized by, because it's hard for me to work with somebody that I don't have that genuine, you know, passion to serve both and, their business and the fans too.
So when you see it as your one thing, which you do, do you ever get the sense of stepping back and looking and maybe seeing the direct correlation of passion to it as like, that's the front line as is, do you ever see it as a detriment also to what you want to achieve?
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, when there've been mistakes made or lessons learned, so to speak, in a positive sense, it might be okay. Maybe my passion, I don't want to say clouded my view, but I'll give you an example. It's like we launched an EP for Sloan back in 2009. And we were very hell-bent on direct-to-fan. And I was definitely just out of the breakup with the major label that I worked for. And the band was not affiliated with a major label. So it was all this kind of, let's do this on our own. It's us against the world. And, you know, in hindsight, you still have to be respectful of the business that's been established. And for me, it was, even though I'm not going to partake of a major label for Sloan, and even that Sloan isn't going to plug into that, we have to be respectful that there's certain kind of paths that we have to go down. So it was almost a detriment that we were so gung-ho to go against what was there and be, you know, so energized and so excited about this new direct-to-fan concept that we were all high on. Now, the good news is that we were able to create a, you know, for lack of a better term, like a sub sales channel for us that we utilize and have built. And it's ironically how we get to tour on the other years that we don't have new albums, because we do our own reissues and we basically make them just to go to the super fans and the direct to fan route. But then we plug it back in. So, you know, we learned our lesson back in 09 that, oh, you know what? We kind of do have to play the game of the traditional record release and have to think about, we do need a publicity person to help us here. And maybe, does it make sense to go to radio there? But there was that time in our history in 09 and early 2010, where we're in, maybe this isn't working the way we thought it would, but we learned from that. And that's, so even though there might be a detriment to it, to me, it's always something learning. And that same example came up. I was teaching a guest lecture in a class up in Athens, Georgia last week. And a student said, what's your biggest mistake you ever made? And that was it. It was like, we really thought we could kind of go around the traditional business model that's there. And that's not to say that you can't, but that was our first attempt at it. So we didn't really understand our fan base. We didn't understand the buying patterns. We didn't understand a lot of the mechanisms in which you would build a traditional, you know, band business around. And now we do. And I think we're really savvy at what we do now. We could always do things a little better and a little more focused, but, you know, we're a small little nimble team, Team Sloan, you know, there's two of us. And the band.
Independent is good.
Yeah, I know.
Fast and independent. It's what I like my music to be in my business. Yeah. I've said it and I'll say it again.
Yeah.
But you said you stumbled early on into being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Do you think that you could also by chance stumble out of entrepreneurship now and back into the world of jobs? Or do you, consider yourself unemployable at this point?
Oh, gosh. That's a great question. In fact, it's currently... there's a little challenge that's been going on internally over the last 6 months. It stems from, you know, being a family man. I've got three kids. My wife and I live in a small house in Franklin, Tennessee. It's nothing big. And, you know, we always like to have more money. We'd always like to have more opportunities to provide for our kids down the road. My oldest daughter is going to go to college, yada, yada, yada. All those stresses of life. There is a piece of me that kind of looks back to my father and all of my father's fathers, you know, through the years, my grandfathers, great grandfathers, all of them were company men. You know, they had a job and they did it and they worked for somebody. And there was security that came with that. Now, there is zero security in being an entrepreneur. And, you know, there's zero security in, I can't tell you what I'm doing this time next year. For the days that I had a day job, or for lack of a better term, a true job where I was employed by somebody, I was under the impression that that was secure, but I've lost, you know, gosh, four or five jobs in my, you know, years of being an employable person. So the sense of security, I think, is false, but that doesn't negate that in seasons, sometimes that security could do me well. Point in case, when my previous entrepreneurial experience was, I bought a company from some guys that started a restaurant marketing firm in Atlanta, and I had lost a job. It's a cycle of my life. You know, I lost a job and went over to them, and they're like, yeah, we're starting this business. We're going to do marketing and advertising for restaurants. And I said, well, I majored in advertising at the University of Georgia, and I, you know, it's part of marketing was my minor. So since the music business isn't an option for me now, because I didn't know that I could create something on my own, which would come later. But I stumbled into working with these guys, and then they basically said, okay, now we want to go open restaurants. So buy the business from me. And when I did that, it's like I became an instant entrepreneur, but I didn't start the business. So I felt, I don't want to say I didn't feel authentic, but it was like, oh, I guess I'm a small business owner. And that's how I called myself. I'm a small business owner, because to me, an entrepreneur is somebody that really creates something out of nothing and really, you know, creates an infrastructure. And I didn't do that. So now I consider that was training for me to be an entrepreneur now. And there is that sense of, you know, linking up with the man or linking up with something that I think got me through seasons. And that I walked away from that gig when I was working. It was called PMC, Progressive Marketing Concepts. And I closed it down because we were having our first child and my wife wanted to stay at home and I wanted her to stay at home. And I was like, I can't have the riskiness of being a self-employed guy running my own small business. I need to plug into an entity that will give me security. And that lasted for 2 years. And then I got let go from there. And when I got let go, I'm like, oh no. And it was super fearful. And then and it just took me about 6 to 9 months to find my next gig. And same thing. That lasted 2 years. And I think that was the moment where I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And I started planting the seeds in my own brain about what I would do if I was to do something in the music business. And concurrently looking at serving bands and working with bands from a fan engagement and directive fan capacity led me to working with the band, the Bare Naked Ladies, at the same time I was interviewing for record labels, because there was part of me that said, I don't have the resume yet. And I needed something to prove to other people that I was A, employable, and not so much meaning that they give me a job, but employable in the sense that I can go to a band and say, hey, I know what the hell I'm doing. Here's my pedigree. Here's where I've come from. Here's what I've built. Here's what I've done. Give me a chance to work with you. And it's a lot easier to take meetings now with bands because I've been doing it aggressively since 2008. Then now I have a small roster of bands, you know, a dozen bands that I've worked with. And they're like, oh, okay, well, you've done these projects for these 12 bands. Well, you're worthy of our time to even talk to. And I needed that.
Yeah. And Jay, I know that you know this now, but when you said something really, really big right there. You said, I don't have the resume yet. And I know that now you've gone on and realized this, but everyone out there listening, and myself included, you know what? You kind of do have the resume, and no, or else look at it in the fact that nobody has the resume until they have it yet. And you typically get it by doing things. And so don't negate yourself before you even take that chance. You know what I mean? We can't get there without going there. But lots of us never want to try and go there because we're not there yet. Does that make sense? We always want to be where we want to be, but we don't think that we deserve to get there. And because we don't deserve to get there, we can't get there. And it's like, you're just sticking yourself. Just go for it.
I'll say,
ask people, apply, do things.
Absolutely. And I will say the biggest life lessons I've learned, Dead, you are so right. The biggest life lesson I learned came from my father before he passed away. The last really lucid conversation we had, he said to me, I totally believe in what you're trying to do here with Music Geek Services. And I think you're on the right path. And his comment was, you know, stay true to your vision of how you can help people and you will be successful. And then the other thing he said, which wasn't in this conversation, but had been years prior when I was talking about doing something, he said, are you afraid to take this job because of you don't think you deserve it? Or are you afraid to do it because you are afraid? Like, are you fearful? And I went, well, and he said, guess what? Either one's the wrong answer. The right answer is you just got to do it and trust in your gut that you can do it. And he said, it's okay to fail. It's okay to make a mistake. And that was a huge lesson to me. But once again, I run this kind of left brain, right brain thing where it's like, I want to buy into the belief that I can do anything. And I own that. But at the same time, when fear comes up, sometimes that fear becomes a little bit of the, you know, the knock on the head that says, if you fail, your wife and your kids might be at risk. And that's, you know, that to me is the day-to-day struggle. It's just making sure that I'm providing for my family and I'm being smart with the decisions that I make for my business and that I'm not going to go into business or take on a client that I don't feel would be a good fit in terms of, you know, really doing something good for that situation. And I don't chase money and I don't chase a corporate gig. And like you asked earlier, it's like right now I'm not chasing a corporate gig. It's just, I'm trying to figure out how to establish and diversify a little bit so that I don't take too much on so that I dilute what I can do. Cause look, I'm a one man show. Technically, my brother Chandler is my quote unquote business partner. He's more of a strategist from digital capacity and really is a new technology guy. It's awesome. And I use him when I'm working with my bands to say, hey, what's some of the new tech that's coming down? He does great, as I say, he does great R&D for me. He's totally researching stuff and he'll develop some ways to use it with bands. And we have a great rapport in that sense. But it's still me that does the full-on marketing and strategy. And I'm the only sales guy in the company. It's me who's going out and seeking new opportunities. So that means the onus is 100% on me. So that's where the fear comes in. But you're exactly right. I don't want to imply to anybody who's listening that you should then not do something until you have a bunch of resumes. But for me, you have to understand too, I had just walked out of two consecutive corporate gigs and was not in full-on entrepreneur mode. Now I'm in full entrepreneur mode. And now I'm trying to figure out how to keep at bay those insecurities or the fears that'll come up and use the current resume that I've built from just doing. Because yeah, every band that I've worked with, John, everybody has just, I'm asking to work with them. I am not approached by bands. I would love it. And if there's anybody that's out there listening that you're in a band that's been established for 10 or 15 more years And you could say, oh, look what he did with Sloan or Rick Assault or the Presidents. Contact me. But the truth is, I'm the one who's approaching all those bands. And it's a genuine, I think I can help you. Let's talk. Here's my vision for you. And I've been very lucky in that, you know, 9 out of 10 times, that passion and that vision has turned into something really good. And there's only been like 1 or 2 times where it just wasn't a good fit. And a lot of that just comes from, you know, just getting into the business with somebody going, you know what, we think a little differently. And it's not because mistakes were made. It's just, we're not on the same page here and this isn't going to work. So let's move on. But still, you learn, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just part of the process. I think the struggles you're going through, we all definitely go through at one time or another, if not all times, through entrepreneurship. And
yeah.
How you said that you got out of 2 corporate gigs and you weren't in full entrepreneur mode. I know for a fact that that's how most people get into it. It's not just like, wake up, okay, I'm an entrepreneur today and here we go. It's something happens, either you lose your job or you start a side thing and you kind of just dip your toe into the water. Then you jump in and you try and figure out how to tread water first, and then you all of a sudden eventually turn into this full-on entrepreneur.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's how the game is played. It really is. There's nobody born an entrepreneur. There's nobody who's just like, looking back, it always seems clearer. Like I can look at the distinct moments when I sort of became one, but going through it, it was just me struggling through life, figuring out what the hell to do with myself. And it just turns out that I'm completely just unemployable and useless as an employee. Which is great.
I would also say that I think there is beauty in being an entrepreneur that has success within your own frame of reference of what success is.
Yes.
And for me, it's serving artists and serving fans and creating products and creating projects. And yes, at the end of the day, making money for everybody. But the reality of it is every single time I go through a cycle of that, it's like, you know, it's validating that I don't want to then have to wait for somebody to tell me to do something. And that to me was the business that I used to be in, is I would go to an office and someone would say, okay, Jay, here's what you got to do. I'm the one who's now telling myself what to do. And I'm now the one who's telling, you know, the band, hey, we could do this. And there's kind of a unification. And how do we go up this hill? How do we tackle this problem? You know, and a good buddy of mine who is an entrepreneur and has been an entrepreneur since the age of like 22, Pat Hayes, a fellow Canadian, said to me, he's like, Jay, run your own business with the goal in mind that it's successful by giving you freedom. And I thought, oh, that's beautiful. And what he meant by it was, think about it. Freedom could mean something simple as you don't have to work. If you get up and you don't feel like working, you don't have to. But if you get up and you just want to work for 12, 15 hours straight and you want to create something out of nothing, do it, because you have the freedom to do it. And with him, like me, being a father of young kids, he's like, you have the freedom to say, you need to go take care of your family right now. You have the freedom to walk away. My wife's father passed away last week and I walked away for, you know, 3 days. I didn't work. I didn't take meetings. I didn't do anything. And I didn't feel guilty about it. It was like, hey, I'm going to go be with my wife and I'm going to be with my family. And I think there is that side of entrepreneurship that has to be really focused in on, that the freedom that it can give you is amazing. And I think that should be a pursuit for everybody. It's like to run and control your life the way you want to.
Yeah, and it is for those moments like that. And also, as a side, my condolences to you and your wife.
Thank you.
But it is, that's, to me, that's the reason why we do these things. So that when those things come, it's not, I don't have to ask somebody for permission to take, I can just go. When it's more important. All that stuff is just, as much as I get devoured and like consumed by work because I love doing it and creating things out of nothing, it's still, it takes a sideline as soon as family comes into play. It's just the way it is. So with that, Jay, let's move into projects, because you've mentioned this sort of a few times now, and this idea of, so projects is loose, but you are looking within your business right now for products, or like just a diversification of income, right? To kind of spread you out through the different seasons. So I would love to know right now how ideas probably come to you. People like me before this call might even just throw other ideas at you and be like, dude, do this.
Yeah.
But of course, that comes from everywhere. You can read blogs, you can listen to podcasts. There's ideas for businesses kind of everywhere that you can kind of fit into your own business. I would love to know sort of your internal and personal process that you're either going through or that you think you'll go through to decide what is the right next project for you to kind of put your time, energy, and resources into.
Yeah. Well, there's two buckets that it goes in. One is definitely the kind of traditional, as you and I have kind of dubbed it, the Sloan model. It's like bands that I can work with that are like Sloan, you know, many years under their belt, true fine version of, okay, this is what we do, this is how we're structured, and then looking for ways to serve that business to carry it on, and what I would say, carry the legacy on. And that could be, you know, new products that we create, which is, hey, like we're about to release the reissue of the One Chord to another album, and it'll be released in this deluxe edition, blah, blah. So it's coming up with true products that I can create for other clients that I don't yet have. And the other bucket is more of an extension of the wealth of knowledge that I've amassed, you know, in my 47 years on this life, but from the age of 7 to now, that really drive all of the music passion and the business sense that I've created from taking these non-music jobs. I mean, I was a customer service manager. I was a sales rep. I was a national sales rep. I was a director of, you know, 20 employees. It's like I learned all these life skills and business skills that then I harness into a package that says, this is how you can do something for your band, because I would always channel it back to the band. So it's looking at how to fill those buckets up, because I think that one time I'm too heavy on maybe education, as I would call it, on the right hand. On the left hand, I'm too heavy on being submerged in trying to create new projects for bands. But if I can live in a world where there's a balance, that I know that I can, you know, for lack of a better term, have some constant projects going on, I would feel a little less stressed.
So are you not like, you don't seem like the person who falls into the whole shiny object syndrome where you jump to one thing to the next, to the next.
Yeah.
You almost seem more like you're more on the apprehensive side where you'll like overthink a project first.
Well, it's a good observation, but I
don't really know you. I'm just totally throwing that out there.
I hear you. I disagree a little bit only because I do have a set kind of in my head. I was talking to Doc McGee last night, and I'm not throwing that name out. I just happened to be in a situation where he was backstage. Doc McGee is a powerhouse music manager. He manages Kiss. He manages, you know, Richie Sambora. He manages Darius Rucker. He manages, you know, all these great bands. And we were talking about Vintage Trouble, one of his first bands. Then we started talking about Kiss. And it's like, in my mind, as I'm talking to him, there's about 15 processes of, you know, do you think this? Would you do this for this band? That I would love to like talk to him, because every single person that I meet that's in the music business that works for the band of legacy, I always know that there's something that I could add value to.
Nice.
And the key is finding those opportunities for me, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, to find those opportunities that A, present themselves as true, I can help you solve something, or B, have you thought about doing this? And I had a meeting, and I won't mention him because it was an uncomfortable situation. But I said, well, don't you think you could do this, this, this? And this was a couple weeks ago, somebody else. And he said, yeah, I just don't have the time to get to that. And it's not that important. I said, okay, so you're not doing these four different things for these five different bands that you definitely could do and I could help you with. He's like, yeah. I said, okay. But it didn't turn into anything. So I'm like, okay, well, at least I asked.
And you never know, exactly.
I didn't get it. But it is that if you don't ask, you don't get it. So my point is that I don't get distracted by, oh, here's something shiny and new. But I do find myself looking at, there isn't a band that I won't assess. And there isn't a band that I can look at and go, I would do this differently, that differently, and that differently. And it's not an ego thing. It's just the way I see things. It's the way I look at it. And I would give anything to find a way to, you know, take a meeting with all these different bands to say, hey, how would this work? How do we do this? How do we, you know, and it's like, I'm sure within a week's time, if I could get set up with, you know, 15, 20 different bands, that I would probably turn half, if not 75% of those into true work, because of the fact that I think and see things differently, because I'm not in the minutia that those bands get into. And that's just the reality. It's like what I do lives in tandem with the day-to-day business of music business. And it's a piece that sometimes bands just do not concentrate on. So that's the beautiful thing, is I know that I differentiate myself because there is nobody else that looks at things the way that I do, because nobody else has the background and the passion that I do. And that's, once again, it's not an ego thing. It's just the way that I was made.
It's you.
And I love that.
It's not ego. It's like you have to have a certain amount of cockiness. You do, to be an entrepreneur, because you have to know that everything you provide is absolutely unique, because only you can provide it in that unique way.
Right.
But
I have to also...
I'm a Canadian. I struggle with trying to be cocky, but I know that I have to in certain ways, because otherwise my value and my essence of who I am and what I create is not there. It's essential.
Yeah. And I also learned very early on that even though I might have the right solution, sometimes it's the wrong time for people. And there have been bands that I've known for years and years and years. We never worked together, but I'm friends with them. There's bands where I've courted them for over 2 years. And finally, they're like, hey, let's do something together. And that's part of the manager in me, because I understand that I can't force any band to do anything that they don't want to. And I wouldn't want to. So in that sense, even though I could probably drum up some really great ideas for bands, if they're not in a place where they're ready to jump in with me, or if they're at a place where they're fearful or insecure or whatever they're going through, I have to be very respectful of that. So in that sense, I have to be cautious that my passion doesn't come off as cockiness sometimes, because I have very passionate ideas for bands that I love, but I have to say, you know what? I get that. I respect that you don't want to hear these now because you're not in a place to do them. Or you are hearing me what I'm saying, but you have no ability to take on me right now, because you would have to compensate me, or it would mean more work for you and the band, because we're going to create new projects and products. Therefore, it's going to distract you from what you're trying to do. So there is a lot of understanding how bands work from a psychology level in my business. Yeah. That to say, I might have, and I have, trust me, there's documents that I have of bands that I've pitched that 3 to 5 pages long of ideas. And it's like, even with the Sloan document that I first presented in 2009, we're not even done with that list. And yet we're still, here we are in 2016. I started working with you in 2009. That's the good news. The bad news is I also look at that and go, gosh, because I want to get all these things done. It's like, but it's not my time. It's got to be respectful.
Which is good. That's a good sort of assessment of the situation.
Yeah.
And I think one that we all need to appreciate. So Jay, this has been a blast. I want to wrap up on one final question for you, because we are running out of time here. But this idea and this question that I ask everyone now, calling the entrepreneurial gap.
Mm-hmm.
So as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we have this tendency to project our success always into the future. And so from the outside, sometimes we look successful to other people with the accomplishments we've achieved. Yet to ourselves, we never see ourselves as successful. We set those bigger, loftier goals further and further into the future, no matter what we accomplish. So I would love to know, Jay, right now, you've been at this game a long time. You've come a long ways. There's been highs, lows, wins, and losses. But I would love if you could stop and turn around and look behind you and tell me exactly how you feel about everything you've accomplished and achieved up until today.
Wow. You know, hearing you walk through that, it's that reminder of like, I don't stop and smell the roses enough. You know, I don't stop and say, look at all that I've accomplished. But it is amazing to think that it's amazing to look back and think that out of a job loss in 2008, that I created something that really grew in 2009 to the point where here I am 7 years later, and still every single day just excited to do what I do and all excited to take on more and do more. And, you know, I don't want to say succeed more, because I feel that I succeed every day working with the bands that I do, but it's inspiring to look back and say, oh my gosh, if I just stop for a moment and do take pride. And I'm not Canadian. I'm a Canadian by virtue, right? Like working as long as I have with Canadian bands and traveling as much as I do there. But it is that type of thing where I don't pat myself enough on the back, and I don't say good job enough, because there is always that next challenge that I want to find. And there's always that mistake that I made, or there's always that, man, this didn't work the way that it was supposed to, and we got to go this route instead of that route. And I might get frustrated, or life just steps in the way, and I'm preoccupied with how am I going to get my daughter to college, and you know the insecurity rate raises its ugly head again. But yeah, it's that gap is definitely there, and I need to be more acknowledgement of it to make sure that I'm centered, for lack of a better term, to really focus in on, okay, I have gotten here for a reason, because I'm able to do it, and there's not a reason why I couldn't continue to do it, and I need to take pride in what I've accomplished.
Yeah, beautifully said, beautifully said. All right, Jay, this has been a blast, as I've said, and we've mentioned your business in passing. Right now, I would love it if you could specifically tell the listener where they can go find out more about you and your business.
Yeah, Music Geek Services, musicgeekservices.com. It's kind of just the boilerplate information there. But you can also find me on LinkedIn, Jay Coyle on LinkedIn, or on Twitter and Instagram at Music Geek Jay. And, you know, my business is just in the business to serve the super fans by serving the artists and their needs. Or you can reverse that and say it's serving bands and artists by serving their super fans. It's very cyclical. And I would love the opportunity to talk to anybody that's looking at you know, ways to serve their bands, ways to serve their fans, or just other entrepreneurs that wanted some feedback or advice, or for that matter, to commiserate or appreciate each other. That's the best way to say it.
That's awesome. MusicGeekServices.com, Jay on Instagram, LinkedIn, and MusicGeekJay on Twitter. Yeah. I will link to all of those in the show notes. So when you're done running, biking, working out, whatever it is you're doing right now, and get back to a computer, you can go to Hack the Entrepreneur. And you will find Jay there with all of those links. Do reach out to him. Do take him up on his offer to talk to you and help you and commiserate your entrepreneurial journeys together. And yeah, it's been a blast.
I appreciate it.
Fully endorsed Jay and Music Geek Services. So do go check it out. And Jay, just thank you so much for taking the time to stop by and chat with me. I really, really, really do appreciate it. And please just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it is awesome and inspiring
to
watch.
Thanks. And same to you. I thoroughly enjoy all that you do with Hack the Entrepreneur. So thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Jay, thank you so much for joining me. That was a lot of fun. I hope you out there enjoyed that as much as I did. I hope that Jay and I said it in his intro to the episode. I said that Jay is a music geek. I think I have to say that I probably am too. So hopefully we didn't go straight too far on you. But, you know, we have fun talking about music. But beyond the music, he's also a drummer, which is obviously very, very cool. But he's also, I love the business he's creating. I love his focus on the passion of the music. And then with the artists that he's worked with, the passion he has there and how he's bringing it back to a business. And that's, to me, is really cool that merging of art and commerce, to me, it's a hard barrier for a lot of people to cross, but people like Jay do it so naturally that it makes me really happy. It really, really does. So I went back to the conversation and Jay said a lot of smart things. So when I went back, there was a couple things he said, and then I went back again, and then I had to go back one more time. That third time I went through, there was this one thing that Jay said that really, really, really stood out to me. That one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
The biggest life lesson I learned came from my father before he passed away, the last really lucid conversation we had. He said to me, "I totally believe in what you're trying to do here with Music Geek Services. And I think you're on the right path." And his comment was, you know, stay true to your vision of how you can help people and you will be successful.
And that's the hack. Jay. This I really, really like. First off, my condolences to you about your father. But this is really key, right? So you had a person that was really close to you and special to you, and one of the last things that he said to you was that he totally believes in your vision for the company. And then, which as the first part, I really truly think that we all need that person to believe in us in that way, beyond ourselves. And of course, it has to come from within, but you do need to get people around you. Like, we can be so connected through Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, all these places where millions of people are now hanging out, that no matter how crazy you think your thoughts are in your own head, no matter how big and grand your dreams are, or how specific your dreams are, there's people out there that you can connect with and find. And you need to do this. Whether you can do that going to a conference or whether you can do that just online social media, you need to have those people that you can have conversations with that will believe in you. I honestly, honestly believe that, because these are the things that get you through the tough times, which it's done for Jay now. Is having a person say that to you really does truly, truly help and push you through those times. But then he goes on to say, just stay true to your vision. And as long as you keep helping other people, you will be successful. And this is, I've talked about it so many times where I say, no matter if you want to or not, all businesses now are media companies in the fact that we have to produce content, we have to bring people in, and we have to get them to know, like, and trust us, and then we can find what they want to buy, we can make things, and they will buy them from us. But it's always about helping other people, right? When I had Michael Port on, He said you can't be good, right? You can only be useful. You can only be helpful. That's all you can really aim to do. And the best companies now do this, the best products now do this, and the best people behind them now do this. And it's true, no matter what business you're in, whether you want to be a music geek like Jay or you want to build the next app that's going to be the sensation, you need to be helpful. You need to help people. You need to solve problems, and you will be paid for that, and you will become successful. Jay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And speaking of being helpful, don't forget to check out 1000maniacs.com because your maniacs are waiting. There's a checklist there and a roadmap that will take you through all of the steps that is involved in finding your first 1000 maniacs, then having a conversation or multiple conversations with them and determining what it is you can help them with and creating tiny products and then selling it to them. 1000maniacs.com. It's all there for you. All right. It's been a blast. Once you're done at 1000maniacs.com, feel free to jump over to Hack the Entrepreneur, get on the email list, and I'd love to talk to you every Sunday. But yeah, this has been a blast. I thank you for so much for joining me. Thanks for joining Jay. Thanks for letting us kind of geek out of our music a bit. It's been fun. I hope you enjoyed it too. And yeah, just until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.